Welcome to the Sigmund Cinema Podcast, where all things movie related are broken down, discussed, put back together, and discussed some more. Here's your host, Sigmund.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. So glad you can join me. And for this episode's topic, now, let me explain this. I thought it was pretty much a no-brainer, but intriguingly, after my research for the episode, it appears it is not as much as I would have thought or would have liked it to be. And I've had this conversation with many people I see as movie fans, cinephiles, average movie fans and whatnot. So basically the topic is, I was gonna have it just hard bold letters, 1985, the best year in film, the best year in movies, exclamation point. But it turns out 1985 might be the forgotten best year in movies. I'm gonna go through that and explain why this seems to be the case, but it's very intriguing, like I mentioned before. So what's the reason for this topic? The year is 2020, and a lot of our favorite movies of all time are turning 35 years old. And if you're of a certain age, I guess you could have been an adult in the 80s, a child, preteen, or a teenager. Me, myself, a lot of you, well, I would say do, but no, I think more of you probably don't know how old I am. Let's just say I'm old enough to remember the good times I had with 80s cinema. So let's get right to it. 1985 in film, very great year. But before we get down to naming the names of these great classic movies from 85, let's go over why it appears to be the forgotten year in great movies. So I've come across a lot of discussions and lists and the best decade in movies, best years in movies, and of course, broke it down to the best years. We'll discuss decades some other time. So the best years in movies, I've come across countless top 5, top 10 list of the best years in movies. So I just knew I was going to see 1985 on a lot of these lists, but unless I specifically typed it in or searched 1985, I didn't see 1985 pop up a lot. Let me give you an example of the constant of the list that I've seen as far as what are the best years in movies, top 10 list. So one year that was very constant and I definitely agree with, and it's probably fresh in your minds because it was just last year, a lot of movies from this year would have celebrated its 20th anniversary. So that year is 1999. So last year in 2019, 20th anniversary, obviously. So 1999 was indeed a great year in movies. Not arguing that at all. It's definitely hell, top three best years in movies. So another year that I saw a lot, 1994. Once again, can't argue that. We got Pulp Fiction, Shawshank, Forrest Gump, Let's Go Animation, The Lion King. What else we got in there? Comedy, Dumb and Dumber, 94. 94 is good, and it deserves to be on the top 10 best years in movies. So we go way back. 1939 is considered to be the golden year in movies. You know, you got Gone with the Wind. Everybody knows Wizard of Oz. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. So on and so on. So, a year that came up. Let's go back to the 90s. 93. Jurassic Park. That is all. No, just kidding. 93 was decent, but probably not top 10. We'll probably go back to that one. So, like I said, I was expecting 1985 to pop up on a lot of these lists. And I'm going through the list, and I see two other years come up before 1985, and that's 1982. All right, that's fair enough. Now, 1982 is specifically defined to have one of the best summers in film. 1982, we got Wrath of Khan, got E.T., even films that would go on to be cult classics that weren't big box office hits, Blade Runner and The Thing, for example. So, another year, I'm like, where's my 1985? Another year I came across in the 80s, after 82, 84. I'm like, wow, another good year. Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Police Academy, Gremlins, Temple of Doom, Karate Kid, Revenge of the Nerds, Terminator, Nightmare on Elm Street. Damn. 84 was a good year. 16 Candles. All right. Good. Where's my 1985? Where are you? Scooby-Doo, where are you? Come on. So, finally get down to it. 1985 pops up. But the thing that, kind of shocked me is, like, wow, it seemed 1985 in film seems to be an afterthought on a lot of these lists. A lot of these lists, surprisingly, you wouldn't believe 1985 weren't even on the top 10. I'm like, whoa, get the hell out of here, man. So where's the disconnect is a good word to use it. Why are we forgetting about one of the best years in movies? I don't know. It's with technology. We got Blu-rays. We got DVDs, streaming. These movies are very easily accessible. So what's the deal? I'm going to run through some of my personal favorites. I'm pretty sure some of my personal favorites will be some of your personal favorites. And I'm going to go through a little bit of obscure movies and whatnot to just prove 1985, if not. So I'm definitely have to bring somebody on here, some of my recurring guests. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be an argument. I would say if it came down to it, the argument would be best years in movies ever would go 1999 versus 1985. I just don't see any other battle. But first things first, let's break down 1985. So 1985, like I mentioned earlier, It's 35 years ago, and it's just amazing. So, when you think 1985 movies, what's the first movie that pops in your head? And in my opinion, I think whether you're a cinephile, a hardcore cinephile, movie buff, film buff, whatever you want to call it, or you're just an average moviegoer, you know. Would you believe some people actually get offended by that? I ran into some people, social media, or average movie, whatever, but it's just crazy. But whatever category of moviegoer that you fall in, I think everybody, there is probably a handful of movies that every single body who has ever seen a movie ever, there are a handful of movies that everybody should have seen at least once. And I'm going to get to that number one movie, I think it is. And it comes from 1985. That movie is Back to the Future. A Robert Zemeckis movie written by Zemeckis and Bob Gale. It is a classic. It is basically the perfect movie. you know, people could go back and look at some of the more disturbing aspects of it. You know, basically, the plot, you know, I'm just saying incest is part of the plot material, but the movie is so well written. The screenplay is so awesome. The dialogue is, you know, it kind of sugarcoats the awkwardness of that situation, but it doesn't just try to avoid it, because there are several scenes in a movie where this comes up. Obviously it can't be avoided, but there's several scenes where this comes up. But anyway, Back to the Future. I don't know a person in the world who doesn't like this movie. I'm pretty sure if you want to go Rotten Tomatoes, it should be a perfect 100%, but I'm pretty sure it's not. We know how goofy Rotten Tomatoes can be. But my curiosity is up about that. But anyway, Back to the Future. One of the classics in film. So that's Back to the Future. Now let's throw another one out from 1985. What do we got? Let's spin the wheel. The Goonies. So, who hasn't seen The Goonies? I asked myself the question and I'm gonna answer it. A lot of people under a certain age. Okay, that's fair, you know. But any hardcore movie fan who's a movie fan has seen The Goonies. And going back to the Future has 96% tomato rating. I think that's just painfully low. But anywho, you know, knew that was going to be the case. Like I said, we know how Rotten Tomatoes is. But anyway, going back to The Goonies, Steven Spielberg produced the movie, just like Back to the Future. Richard Donner directed The Goonies. It is, you know, it's 80s. It is an 80s staple. And 1985, you know, what more can you say about it without getting into a detailed description of the movie? I'm just doing a rundown here. We're going to start, as of now, it's early March, and we're going to start running into these anniversaries. And a lot of these anniversaries are going to just slap us in the face with nostalgia, because a lot of us aren't expecting these anniversaries to come up, and it's going to remind us of, of course, how old we are. And wow. So that's Back to the Future, The Goonies. And we're going for, you know, why is 85 forgotten as one of the best years in cinema? So we got two classics on top, The Goonies and Back to the Future. Let's throw, since we're talking about Spielberg had a hell of a year. So Back to the Future and The Goonies were both produced by Spielberg. Let's go Spielberg directed The Color Purple. And Steven Spielberg directed The Color Purple. And back then, it's a great movie, without saying. But back then, it was kind of controversial. Movies like this didn't come out around that time. And movies like this weren't directed by directors like Steven Spielberg. So I'm not saying, you know, well, yeah, the fact that he's white. And also the fact that for those of you who are old enough to remember how big of a deal, you know, even now, Steven Spielberg's name resonates with the filmmaker elite. But back then, Steven Spielberg was just a super duper hot ticket. You know, he's coming off of, at that point, he had the two Indiana Jones movies. He had Jaws, Close Encounters. He was just on a streak. And, you know, given probably only had one miss at the point, but Steven Spielberg was super duper hot, and nobody expected him to take a project like The Color Purple. But anyway, he did, and, you know, it was very controversial in a day, but I'm glad that it was made, and I'm glad that he made it. And based on the the popular novel, I believe the novel came out 82. So yeah, basically the entire cast, you know, what I meant by movies like this didn't come out then, the entire cast is black. Basically, there's probably two or three other actors who aren't black in the movie, but it's a very important movie, and it's also another movie that is part of the 1985 roster. So let's go horror. Fright Night. Come on. One of the best vampire movies, period, ever. If you haven't seen Fright Night, starring Chris Sarandon as you know, it's Jerry, the vampire in the movie. Fright Night is just the perfect mash of horror and light comedy and tongue-in-cheek and whatnot. Hell, let's go the opposite. Since we're talking about vampires, let's talk about werewolves. Silver Bullet. Movie based on a Stephen King story starring Gary Busey and a young Corey Haim. You know, it might not have been a blockbuster hit, but damn, it's a cult classic. So let's go, what else we got? Let's go obscure, a little bit obscure. Let's go martial arts. The Last Dragon. One of the best villains in movie history. Fight me. Show enough. And Bruce Leroy. And like Color Purple, this movie was kind of ahead of its time, as predominant black leading cast, and just it's a heck of a movie. It's very innocent, I hate to use the word cute movie, but what can you say? So anyway, that's that. The Last Dragon, definitely, it's not on Netflix anymore, but if you're not familiar with it, I recommend getting familiar with it. So let's go big again. Comedy. Let's say the comedy. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Tim Burton's first semi-big budget movie, but definitely largely exposed movie. Damn, no pun intended. Now, those of you get it, you get it. So Pee-wee's Big Adventure. One of the best comedies of the 80s, not just 85, but the 80s. And this movie works on so many different levels. Is if you're a kid, you'll love it for the Pee-wee character. And if you're an adult, you'll notice the hidden mature jokes within the movie. And it's just great. Let's stick to comedy. Let's go to one of the king of the 80s. John Hughes, 1985, Weird Science. Boy, I actually just bought this on Blu-ray. I think it was an Anchor Steelbook. Very good Blu-ray transfer. Weird Science. Hell, just watch it. Weird Science. And let's go back to obscure. You see, if you notice, I'm just hopping all over the place, naming these wonderful movies. I'm sure a lot of these movies are ringing bells. All right, let's go another. Let's go obscure. No, let's go action. Commando. Arnold Schwarzenegger. One of the most ridiculous, craziest action movies ever made. But also, because of that, it's one of the damn greatest. Boy, if you haven't seen Commando, go buy it. You could probably get it on Blu-ray for $5 off Amazon. If you haven't seen it, boy, buy it, put it in, get some popcorn, and be ready for a good damn time. I'm not saying you might enjoy it. You will enjoy it. Simple as that. So let's go. Let's go actors. Let's go Stallone. Rambo and Rocky. Stallone's sequel to First Blood was Rambo First Blood Part 2. Came out in 1985. I think it might be the best Rambo movie. The fourth Rambo is close. But yeah, I think Rambo First Blood Part 2 was the best Rambo movie. And what I meant by Let's Go Stallone, he had another movie with a character with an R name, Rocky, Rocky Ford. One of the more popular Rocky movies because of the villain, Drago, the Russian boxing villain played by Dolph Lundgren. And the movie is probably most popular for getting rid of a certain character in the movie, killing this character off. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler for Rocky IV. Apollo Creed, played by Carl Weathers, is killed in the movie. Yeah, it's very, at the time, very shocking and still very risky that Stallone did this. Stallone was the writer and director of this movie, by the way. So yeah, let's go. I don't know. Let's hop to, you know what? It was recently announced as of this recording that the 25th James Bond movie was going to be postponed from March, which it is now, until November. So let's go James Bond, since that's popular. A View to a Kill was the James Bond movie that came out in 1985. It was the 14th. Man, the 14th back then. The 14th James Bond movie. And it starred Roger Moore in his last appearance. His seventh and last appearance as James Bond. I like A View to a Kill. Some people don't. It's not one of his worst. I think Moonraker is Roger Moore's worst Bond movie. That's just my humble opinion. And we're still skipping around. I think I've probably named at least almost 10 movies. 10 movies that would make the case that this is one of the better years in film. So let's hop back to, I'm going to go obscure again. Go obscure comedies. Brewster's Million, Richard Pryor, John Candy comedy. And it has a very, there you go. I'd say a very interesting premise. So, and it was based on, I think the novel Brewster's Million is based on a novel of the same name. And it was it's one of Richard Pryor's more underrated comedies. And that's kind of unfortunate. A lot of people, it was successful. It wasn't a blockbuster or anything, but it's a lot of people forgotten about it. But yeah, Brewster's Million, Richard Pryor, is one of my favorite movies of his. So, and how many movies have I named? I honestly wasn't trying to keep count. I'm just running through these great movies. Let's go horror. We went Silver Bullet earlier. Let's go Life Force. So, oh man, Life Force. So Life Force was science fiction horror. A science fiction horror movie. And it was by, this is a whole other episode, Cannon Films, a name. If you're a fan of 80s movies, you know Cannon Films. So Life Force was one of Cannon Films' bigger budget movies. They wanted this movie to be huge. And Toby Hooper directed the movie. And it's, while the movie is nothing special, it's not a bad movie. It's very unique, but it's interesting. It has a very interesting premise. But yeah. Definitely has been recently released on Blu-ray and is definitely worth a revisit. So, where are we? Still in 19. And some of the more popular movies that we named. We named The Goonies, Back to the Future, The Breakfast Club, Color Purple, Rambo, Rocky, Fright Night, James Bond movie. Oh, let's go comedy again. Clue. Anybody remember Clue? The movie based on a board game starring the great, the wonderful, the excellent Tim Curry leading an all-star cast. This was one of the first movies I remember having multiple endings actually in the movie. And it's very memorable. It's one of many reasons that movie is very memorable. It's Clue. One of the better comedies of the 80s. And I mentioned Cannon Films. I wanted to talk about So Canon Films, to put into context, they were a smaller production company ran by these two guys. Forget their names. These two guys. And the company was ran by, I'm sorry, you know what, I gotta look it up. Anyway, yeah, Golan and Globus, that was their last name, that was the production company, Canon was the company. So anyway, Canon was a smaller production company masquerading as a major studio, but their practices on getting movies made were, they were trailblazing, to use a word. So nowadays, it's the foreign market, the foreign movie market, you know, like China and everything else, is that's one of the biggest movie markets for Hollywood. Back in the 80s, this basically didn't exist, or it wasn't, at least it wasn't nowhere near as important as it is now. Canon Films, they would actually sell the foreign rights for their movies before the movies were even made. And they would take that money and actually make the movie. It was unheard of. I don't know if you want to call it. It technically wasn't swindling, because they took the money, they made the movie, and everybody made money until, of course, they got too big for their britches. So one of these movies, basically Canon, they made like trashy action movies, exploitation movies early on in the company, but a lot of Chuck Norris movies, Braddock Mission in Action. But every so often they would have a gem. And one of the best movies that ever came out of Canon Films was a movie called Runaway Train, starring John Voight and Eric Roberts, who both would go on to get Academy Awards nominations for acting. This is an excellent, excellent movie. It is underviewed, and it's just an excellent movie. It's one of the best movies of that year. But the fact that, unfortunately, Canon Films, you know, people, you know, snicker and laugh at this company, it didn't get, you know, it got a couple of, like I said, Oscar nominations, but it should have gotten, you know, more exposure. But unfortunately, it's one of the best years of 1985. If you haven't heard of it, look it up. I think it's definitely streaming somewhere. But that's that. Runaway Train. So where are we? I don't know. I think I named enough. I was just rapid firing these movies off. I probably named at least 15 movies, and there's so many more to go. So I don't know. What do you guys think about? Is 1985 one of the best years in movies? Is it one of the top three best years in movies? One of the top five best years in movie? I don't know. You tell me. There's so many more I can name, but I just don't want the episode to be about just naming movies. But yeah, it's 85 is not mentioned when these lists come up, and it's very, I'm gonna say, disturbing. Intriguing is a word that I used earlier. So I don't know if could it be the fact that these huge movies like Back to the Future and the Goonies are so great, so memorable, that although these other movies that came out were successful, you know, weren't as, and I guess it's no coincidence that Steven Spielberg is behind these bigger movies, you know, be it he was a director or a producer. But who's to say? There's no way to know. But if this is not the best year in movies, it's definitely one that should be remembered. And like I said, these anniversaries are going to be coming up, and they're just going to slap us in the face like, wow, already? What are we going to... What is this going to be? What are we going to do? Who knows? And, not what are we going to do, but yeah, these, you know, 85, like I said, it has a lot of obscure hit movies that a lot of you probably didn't know came out in 85. And I want to talk a little bit more about those. But yeah, that's, you know, any year with Back to the Future, how can you argue that? So I'm going to go back to the board. I'm going to throw a dart. You can't see it, obviously. It's a podcast. And I'm going to cover one of these movies. So going to pause for a quick moment and let's see which one we're going to choose. Ah, here we go. Now look what we have landed on. Man, to be honest, I think that's the problem with why 85 isn't mentioned quite often in this conversation of years and best movies, is for what I'm about to say. The movie I landed on for this discussion, I guess of obscure movies, I just forgot about it. I think that's just 85 is filled with a bunch of cult classic movies, memorable movies. Well, not memorable because we forgot about them, but decent movies. There are just so many. But for some reason, I think they're just being overshadowed by the quote unquote bigger movies of the year. But anyway, that movie is Cocoon. You all remember that one? A Ron Howard movie with a great, I guess you can say, all-star cast. Yeah, Donna Meachie, Wilford Brimley, Brian Dennehy, Maureen Stapleton, Jessica Tandy. We know her from back in the day. And talk about, if there was ever a picture of the 80s, this actor, Steve Guttenberg, man, if ever a decade of movies were kind to an actor, it was the 80s were great for Steve Guttenberg. That's crazy. But anyway, Ron Howard's Cocoon, I guess it's a sci-fi drama comedy. It's a numerous subgenres, but this movie, it's a very good movie, very sweet movie, and I don't hear anything about it. It was a hit. It was the, let's see if I had it in my notes, it's the sixth highest grossing movie domestically of that year. And that's wow. That's crazy. But yeah, Cocoon is a movie I wanted to bring to your attention when we talk about 85 and this year of just pretty good to excellent movies. But it's definitely worth having. That's a good question. I was about to say it's definitely worth having in your collection, but if you're a Blu-ray collector, I'm not even sure if it's on Blu-ray. That's a good question. I need to go back and look at that. But I forgot, we got a little bit of time. I forgot to mention, if I did, I'm gonna mention it again. We talked about John Hughes. We mentioned Weird Science, which is classic John Hughes movie. But also, John Hughes had a great year in 85. He had a teen drama, The Breakfast Club, which recently just celebrated its 35th anniversary. So I say earlier, all of these movies, a lot of them are considered hard classics, but a lot of them are cult classic material. Well, not cult classic material. They are in the cult classic arena of movies. So I'm going to mention again Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox 85 movie, because that movie is that movie. A lot of us forget Teen Wolf, you know, Teen Wolf is no, it's no classic, but man, it's one of those awesome nostalgia movies, you know. And when you're starring in two movies and one of those movies are Back to the Future, I think the other one's gonna get forgotten about. But yeah. And since we're talking about, let's go to another one. A fantasy movie by a big name director, Ridley Scott, starring future superstar Tom Cruise and the great Tim Curry, Legend. The fantasy movie Legend. And like I said, cult classic. The movie was a flop, but at that time, these type of fantasy movies weren't really drawing people in. And it was during the what's referred to as the dark era. While this movie is not a Disney movie, but during the dark era of Disney, people attribute the fantasy movies not doing well largely to that. That's just a popular saying that's going around. But anyway, Legend was a dark fantasy movie, and it has, I mentioned, one of the best villains in cinema earlier with Shownuff from The Last Dragon. But this movie definitely has one of the greatest villain creatures in the movie in darkness, played by, like I said, the great Tim Curry. Man, so if for some reason you've never seen this movie, definitely go get it. It's very easy to get. And I recommend, there are two versions of the movie. So the version everybody grew up with, the theatrical version with the Tangerine Dream score, and fairly recently the international version, which is longer and with a different score by Jerry Goldsmith. Not a bad, both versions are okay to watch, but if, like I said, if you grew up with this movie, you're going to be used to that theatrical version. So anyway, where are we? Yeah, it's quite a bit to talk about. So yeah, why is it 1985 in these discussions? It's easy to see now as we go through it, but you know, I still hold, although through the episode my opinion might have gotten altered a bit, but 1985 is definitely, I say, I'm hanging with top five, one of the top five best years in movies. But this definitely calls for a debate, and we will revisit this topic. I will bring a guest or numerous guests on, and we shall, is worth discussing, because yeah, we can't just forget about this year. We gotta be fair. It is some just great movies. What are you gonna do? I've just been running through movies, running, shooting through movies. There are plenty that I haven't named, and plenty genres. I could, like I said, close my eyes and I have a list of movies here from 85, and I could point to it, and I'll land on a movie that you probably heard of, and you'll probably say, oh yeah, that movie, because you forgot about it, you know? And that's just crazy to me. I mentioned the dark era of Disney. So why not, before we get out of here, talk about a couple of those movies. So the dark era, I think Disney had a couple of, the dark era is a live action era of Disney movies that were very, what's the word to use? Not necessarily child friendly. They were rather mature. While they would be rated PG, You know, PG was a whole different thing in the 80s, let me tell you that. So one of the movies from this Disney, well, not one of, I think it's a couple, came out in 1985, and one of them is Return to Oz. If you've seen this movie, you'll get why this era of Disney movies is referred to as the dark era. That movie is quite disturbing, if you want to be fair. But another movie, Disney did have an animated movie in 85 called The Black Cauldron. So these were fantasy-esque type movies, and these are the type of fantasy movies we got. So like I said, these movies were PG, but very, very mature. But yeah, 85. Yeah, it's crazy. So I guess we'll be getting out of here. And I want to hear from you all about 1985. Some of your favorite movies. Some movies I didn't name. I know I've definitely missed some movies. There's no way I can shoot through them all. But yeah, go back, look at your list of 80s movies, well, 1985 movies. Shoot me something that I've missed. Shoot me your opinion on, is this one of the better years in movies, 1985? Does it deserve to be in the top 10, top 5, top 3, the best years of movies? Let me know. And you can do so on my Instagram at Sigmund Cinema. So I definitely appreciate you listening. This episode was near dear to my heart. A lot of my favorite movies of all time come out of this year. And yeah, this definitely, we will definitely revisit this not a one episode topic, but definitely kick it off with this episode. Hit me up on the Instagram, send me those questions, and we will revisit this. Hell, if you want to hop on, we could do that, have a back and forth, a debate, or whatever you want to call it. But until then, until next time, be kind to each other, be excellent to each other, and take it easy.